makes a joke that only they know.
What, to my last name?
Yeah, you fucking idiot.
I do.
You're fourth, Jordan. You guys switched headphones for some reason.
Are you just talking over the intro right now?
You're not recording it, are you?
Yeah, yes. Doesn't matter.
No, we're restarting.
No, no, no. Fuck that. It's good. It's candid.
No, it's
Let's
not.
Let's start a cult. Yo, what's up? I am the hot messiah.
I'm showing Angus how to edit that whole intro out.
Jordan Daniel Eggleston.
Hot messiah. That's
I'm the
good.
Hot messiah. I got my apostles, Kyle and Angus here, and the fucking
Lord of Hosts, Caleb Campbell.
The man himself that has let the great deceiver spread doubt in his mind and cultivate pestilence. Caleb Campbell from the Bible Beaters podcast is in the
house.
How's
it going anyways?
Yo.
You've been putting your crystals in the fire before you suck them, eh?
Yeah. You sniff them. There's like layers to the religion. The crystal sniffers are like the guys that get into the first layer of the Illuminati.
Okay.
The crystal suckers. These guys are crystal suckers.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't want to know where it
I
goes
just feel like
that.
You're all drug
Full
addicts.
Enlightenment is when it comes in your mouth. When it releases its energy into
what
you.
What an enlightenment.
Whatever you
experience.
Want to call it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
When the crystals fully release their energy into your body, that's full enlightenment.
I think smoking crystals, not really tethered to enlightenment per se.
Well, I think it's directly tethered.
You grew up in the wrong cult, bro. So today, you guys are on the Bible Beaters podcast together.
Yeah, same studio. We share the Canada Comedy Studios.
For all the thousands of fans that I have that have already trumped your listeners, even though nobody's heard this podcast yet.
Any day now.
You guys go through and you read the Bible and
front to back. That's the premise.
I describe it as two retards reading the Bible.
Yeah. Well, one retard reading. Another retard just interrupting with whatever he thinks.
Yeah, me and Kyle were talking about his role on this podcast, too. And it's basically for me to rant for 20 minutes about metaphysical shit and for him to call me gay in between long bursts of dialogue.
You call yourself gay, I just pointed out.
Yeah. But yeah, so you guys go through and read the Bible. And today...
Crystal Sniff Wonder, number one right there.
Yeah. Today, what I want to do is give like a, because Caleb, you grew up in like a Christian family.
Big time.
And you.
Big time.
You denounced your faith a long time ago.
Yeah.
So what I want to do today is give like an ontological or epistemological justification or defense of Christianity.
What do both those words mean?
Here's the thing. If you're going, like, if you don't have a good argument, what you want to do is use big words that confuse people to make you think that you have a good argument about something. This is breaking down the fourth wall.
It's cult 101. We're not supposed to give that to you, that information to you, but
that's what this cult is. We're giving them, we're telling them how the trick is done and they're still falling for it because the truth is so pure of my message.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get the premise behind this podcast now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like feminism does a great job of this. Like their whole job is just inventing words that people don't know to make them sound like they have a good argument. They use hegemony and heteronormative. And
I've never heard
that
first
shit.
One.
Yeah, yeah. They're all gay bullshit terms because they don't have an actual argument. They just invent words.
Feminism as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
Feminism is a whole.
Exactly.
Well, it's a cult. Yeah, it is a cult.
It's a series of holes.
The problem is God never wanted women to put anything to paper. So as soon as they did, you know it was going to society was going to crumble.
There is no God, Kyle.
Yeah.
Well, not according to the good book.
We'll get into that.
And Jordan is his prophet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So like a lot of what I'm going to talk about.
Jordan believes he is the recreation of himself. Like he isn't the God. Well, he was always the God and he is the recreation of
himself. That's what happens when you eat enough of your own cum. So,
I think you can get Down syndrome from that.
Yeah.
Most of my argument is something that. One, two, eight. Shut up while I fucking talk, you idiots! You fucking dumb heathens!
I don't know why you thought this would be a good idea.
You dumb fucking heathens! Shut up while I give the intro to the podcast.
The
wrath of our Lord will be spit upon you. It has herpes all over its mouth.
Yeah,
by the way.
Microphone does for sure.
All right, so
why would God smite himself? Most of my argument
I got from Jordan Peterson. But if you're going to be an effective cult leader, you have to pass other people's realizations off as your own. Yeah. So I actually
Kyle fucking hates it when I do that on my podcast. I go, I got this idea from this place.
No, I don't. I say you should do that.
What? Every single time I'm like, Dan Carlin said this. You're like, you don't have to.
You
tell
don't
me.
Say Dan Carlin said it. That's the key.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
You just pass them off
as
your own.
If we were going to quote everyone throughout history, we would never get our message across because we'd be quoting everything.
I get it.
Yeah.
However, but most of the time I do that is just like you did it, where I didn't. This is something that I got from this guy.
Yeah.
And I do that.
No, he was breaking the fourth wall, Dad. We don't do that.
Yeah, we don't do that because that's
we
gay.
We don't give any credit.
I was explaining that's gay to do that. And saying this is my message, Jordan. I actually sent Jordan Peterson an email 15 years ago.
I heard that
which spurred all of his message.
That's why he changed his name to Jordan.
Yeah,
because of your email.
His name was Dave Peterson before.
It's weird.
And now it's Jordan, and he's passing off your message as his own.
Yeah,
so you're just taking it back.
As soon as he got that email, I'm pretty sure he said all trannies should die or something like that.
That's what,
and then that's how it became famous. Quoting Jordan from 15 years ago.
I'm only eating meat.
I saw this episode of Star Trek that was like they met this alien race who they didn't believe in gender. And so all of them were like.
So how do you be gay if there's no genders?
That dude, that's the fucking $36 million question, right? That's what culture is getting to. Yeah.
Yeah. How can you be gay when you only eat
your own? I would hate to live in a genderless world with no facts.
How can you be gay when you only eat your own cum?
Yeah, there's nothing to call your friends.
Yeah, what do you do
if there's no gender?
That's a dystopian, horrible future. Yeah. A genderless.
Right. How can I shame people?
Yeah. So, I've got to do a bit of a rant here. I'd appreciate no interruptions while I do it.
Yeah, that's easy for me, Kyle. I'll try to rein them in.
Ain't gonna happen.
So. My goal, like for, I'll get to that in a bit. First, I want to talk about like you and your family and like, give us the spiel of your Christian history.
Oh man. I had a feeling you were going to ask me this, but I didn't really prepare an answer.
You lived it. You don't have to prepare one. Just say it.
Okay. So I was born in 87 here in Kelowna. I homeschooled till I was in grade 3. My parents started a church the year before I was born, I think. Yeah, I'm 1 year younger than my dad's church. So he started a church basically.
What denomination?
I'll even talk about my parents before. So my dad came from like a business family. My grandfather owned a fruit stand and was a member of parliament and like. He's kind of like a businessman.
He's like, and he said to his son, "You want to make a little money, own a fruit stand. You want to make a lot of money, start a religion."
Well,
I'm going to preface this by saying like, normally we don't go this long on the podcast without talking about me. So we're going to have to speed things along. I want you to put my name interspliced into it to keep my attention and the audience's pretension, because this is inherently not interesting.
My grandfather who died. So, well, here's the thing. He had a bunch of money and a successful business. He died suddenly of a heart attack. And then my grandmother died of cancer the next year. So when my dad was 18. Yeah, Jordan. I want you to know that when my dad was 18 or 19, he lost both his parents in a year, and it fucking like,
oh god,
fucked him up.
Yeah, that's
fucking
horrible.
And so he got saved. My dad had a reputation, I guess, as kind of like a
shyster,
party animal, shithead.
Yeah,
and then
he
got saved. I know
what.
And then he
was almost like you can't fight biology.
He was a ski bum and
get out of here.
Yeah, he was a really good skier.
So he was one of those guys that went full reformation.
Yeah, he would do like, you know,
this guy at the end of the podcast, aka
you know,
after I talk him into being a Christian again,
60 days a season, like he was up there, and then that's like what he did. And then, anyways, he got saved. He
was throwing his life away.
Well, here's the thing, he was about to come into a bunch of money from his inheritance. Yeah. He went on a trip around the world. He went to Africa, Nigeria for a year and a half to be a Christian missionary. And while he was gone...
Where?
Nigeria.
Can you think of a funnier way to pronounce
Nigeria? Okay. Where the AIDS started.
All right.
Bleep that out. That's
too far.
How dare you, dude? Kay. Bring that smut to
don't
my
don't fucking put it on a T-ball.
The house of Jord.
You basically made me say it. Anyways, he lives while he's gone for a year.
Cancel.
Between litigation, his cousin / uncle forged some signature. He went to jail. The mother got the new wife got involved. Basically, the whole
stole his inheritance.
Yeah, came back to nothing.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And yeah. So my mom. Meanwhile, she grew up in the prairies to like a rancher that basically lost his ranch and that became a plumber. And my grandma was she retired now. The administrator, she was like heading the hospitals for all of Saskatchewan. So what I say that to say that it was pretty strict. She had 7 kids in her family. So she was Christian her whole life. My dad found God. My dad was like in a Christian family and then like found God when he came 20 or something. So then they travel around the world. They're broke. They start a church. And my mom starts shaking and prophesying and seeing God and shit. So
how old is she?
Your mom goes full Joan of Arc and starts fucking seizuring.
She said she saw God when she was like 6 or 4 or something.
Yeah.
She said that on our podcast. Anyways, so right around this time, I'd say like early 90s. So I'm like 3 or 4. This like shaking and prophesying and weird church got super big out east, especially. There was this thing called the Toronto.
Hold on a sec.
Blessing. Yeah, that kind of shit. That kind of shit.
So, your mom is just coming in front of everybody. She's just.
It's more like this. And she screams like full blast.
Hell yeah.
So that was just like. So basically, I lived in Kelowna till I was like 8 or 9. And then we started traveling like a lot. Like 9 months of the year, we'd be out of Kelowna doing, you know,
the Lord's work.
3 churches a week. But yeah, like the road. My dad did the road. He's like a road dog comic, but a preacher with a family.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, I liked it. I thought it was fun. But at the same time, I felt like I was like missing out on my life in Kelowna.
Yeah.
So I grew up in church and I was bored. Like I bought into it for a while, but I also was like, I was not really monitored or like, it wasn't strict.
So, how old were you when you get like
so
lost faith, let's say?
That was a very gradual process. Let's say from 14 to 20. By the time I was 18, I was like, I don't really believe in the Bible or God. By the time I was 20, I was like, none of this is true.
So I actually did some research on your background, and I pulled up a video of the day that you lost faith. I found it online.
Is this me for real?
Well, it's your reckoning with your mother about your lack of faith and how you think that she's full of shit.
I don't even know what this is.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, we're not set up to record whatever plays on that. You know?
I'm just trying to help.
Oh.
I'm sorry, but I don't need your help.
Yes, you do, motherfucker.
Caleb's
you do.
Mom.
You do need my help, sir. Can't you see that, you son of a bitch?
Could you please just let me check out my groceries?
Fuck you. I'm trying to help you, motherfucker.
Wow. This is...
You gotta ask
keeps
Jesus
smacking
Christ.
Her lips, too. Sinners. She's high anything. On something.
We're all sinners.
Okay.
This is the best part.
He's not going to force you to do
you're
it.
You're sinning right now.
No, I'm not, motherfucker. You fucking accuser. Get the fuck out of here, you fucking accuser.
You fucking accuser.
You fucking accuser.
That's biblical.
Get the fuck out of here.
She just accused him the whole time, didn't she?
Fucking accuser. Accuser
okay,
of the
that's
fucking
good, that's
brethren,
good.
You yeah. mother.
Mom's kind of a bitch.
Yeah, dude.
I was some lady in a grocery store, but the accusers are what you call the devil. That's what they call the devil. Anyways. Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird clip.
Well worth it.
So,
well worth all that effort, I have to say.
So what happened is you grew up inside of this Christian family with pastors as parents and you lost faith at a certain point.
I'll get to like my actual story. So I grew up in church, right? Grew up in many different churches, but I remember going through church, and my dad's big thing is prayer. He wrote like 5 books about prayer. My mom's a prophet, so they both talk to God, and I was forced to pray 15 minutes a day. You know, I'd have my Bible out, my fucking egg timer. My dad would walk by our rooms, make sure we're praying, and I would pray and 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 pray. Never heard a fucking thing. Never once did I felt like a prayer got answered. Never once did I get anything out of it. So that was probably the very beginning of it. And then I started to notice that, you know, bad things still happen.
Yeah.
Against. So I was like, what the fuck's with that? And then I got real hung up on hell at some point, that people would actually suffer forever. Because that was, Christianity is the carrot and stick. The carrot's, you know, heaven.
All valid criticisms, by the way.
And then hell is the stick. And so I was always like, they were big on the, not maybe not big on it, but there was always the fire and brimstone preaches. Like, this is what's waiting for sinners.
That shit's more interesting.
And I was like, that doesn't seem very fair to me.
Yeah.
And then I fucking was forced to read the Bible so much that I read it and I was like, this is dumb. Like, this is like really dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Like around 16, 17, I was like, this is like insane. It's shocking.
Did you ever consider for a second that you were dumb?
Yeah, I did for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
For 2.5 years.
Here's the thing, though. Like, when we started the podcast, I thought I knew what the Bible was like.
Yeah.
I thought I knew because I have a religious family and they talked about the Bible and there's shit on the walls all the time. I thought it was a well-written book about nonsense. That was my image of the Bible. And then as soon as we started reading it, I couldn't fucking believe how dumb it was.
Yeah. It's insane.
Shockingly dumb. Like, shocking.
So
I wouldn't call it dumb, but
It's unbelievably dumb. You can't make your own rules and then go against them immediately.
Yeah, you can.
Within everybody paragraphs of itself.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Not if you're...
What are you talking about?
As an omnipotent being, the ruler of the universe, you probably shouldn't do that.
No, God is... like, what you're saying about God not being fair, yeah. God is not fair. That's not the point of God.
Is God fallible, though?
Yes.
God's fallible, then why are we listening to anything he says?
Because he's slightly less fallible than us.
Slightly less. There's gigantic hypocrisies every
page. That would actually be a more believable stance for the church to take, but they don't take that shit.
So I'm going to give you my spiel of, like, what I think, like, what I've learned recently and what I overlooked about Christianity.
Yeah.
Was turn it down a little bit. I like that. Yeah. All right. So, I'm coming at it from the perspective of like an addict. Like,
okay.
And most addicts that go through rehab,
like 7-step addict,
12 steps.
12 steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7. Yeah. What the fuck?
That's a shortcut. That's when you skip through the steps.
Yeah, it's called drinking ayahuasca.
I went to.
If you run like a fag, it's only 7.
I went to AA for about 4 months. I read the big book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, thing was step one. I could not fucking admit there's a higher power.
We'll talk about that in a bit. Almost all addicts become Christians afterwards. Turn the music down a little bit more, please. And the reason that is because, like, the patterns of behavior that you've been perpetuating in your life have got you to a point where you're like, all right, I'm fucking broke. I'm lonely. I feel like shit all the time. And you've been repeating these perpetuating patterns that are negative in your life. So in order to pull yourself out of that, what we do is we construct our identity by iconography and archetypal figures around us.
We as in people in general?
Everybody. Yes, absolutely everybody. So the Christian thing, what Jesus is from a psychological perspective is
depends on part of the world you live in, by the way.
The ideal identity. What would Jesus do? That's the greatest thing about Christianity is it's a feeling of a person that you model your behavior after, because your behavior in your life hasn't been going that great. And so you have this figure of a person, and you do it with people inside of the rooms as well, too, to model my behavior after that person and enact that person's decisions in the world to create a better world and a better life for myself. That's what Jesus serves as, this archetypal figure.
But almost every single recovery program in North America is Christianity based.
Yeah.
That's directly why everyone becomes Christian.
No, you need Christianity.
Go to any part of the country.
You need Christianity because it gives you
you don't need it.
If you're an addict, addicts need it because it gives them a new community of people to immerse themselves into that's not their old group of friends and gang life and shit like that.
That's true.
You immerse yourself into a new community of people that are not involved in that shit way whatsoever.
I have some thoughts on
that. Or in a baking community.
Historically speaking, the church,
big cupcakes,
especially after Rome, up until literally the most recent of times, the church served the function of social welfare, mm-hmm. as in education, hospitals, and general welfare
still
for the
does.
Poor. Still does a lot, and many Christians. That's the attractive part of Christianity. Is, you know, helping the poor.
The rehab place that I went to was a Christian place called Freedom's Door.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And it's like, there's not a lot of atheists that are gathering their money together for rehab
facilities.
No,
they're not. They're not. That's true. And that's one of the things that Christian, like, Jesus's message was.
There are,
help
though.
The poor. Help the poor. What do you mean?
Atheist organizations
there,
for rehab?
There is, but it's.
In the States. I don't know if any.
If I could show you a pie chart, it'd be like 85, 90% religious.
Might maybe even be higher.
Yeah.
All right. So what you're doing is you're projecting this ideal archetypal figure's identity onto yourself. And like, as a 35-year-old fucking broke drug addict, like, that's a powerful thing to feel like.
I aspire to be that in 2 years.
No. That's a powerful thing, like, for me to be like, oh, I'm better than other people for some reason because I'm Christian now. Like, that's the only way to get that as a fucking 35-year-old recovering drug
really
addict.
That?
That's not better than anybody. I'm a little bit better than everybody else now because I'm a Christian. And I'm not saying that I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian.
I never got that vibe.
Just become one of those
Christians. I got the.
You don't get that vibe from any Christians?
Yeah.
No, some of them.
Any club thinks that they're the best.
No.
Comedians think that they're the best. Fucking snowboarders think that they're the best. And Christians think that they're the best.
I get more of the vibe like. You poor peasants, you just don't know any better.
Yeah, exactly.
That's looking down directly.
Okay,
that's maybe the same thing that you said, but it comes from a different place. It's not I'm better than you because
yes, it is. You called them peasants.
Yeah, you just don't know yet. As in,
yeah.
That's what people say about black
Kyle,
people.
Listen to me.
It's exactly word for word.
But it comes from a different place.
Who says that about black people?
That's what everyone used to say about black people
Kyle,
in the 20s.
Yeah, but listen to me. You're not as good because you're not Christian is different than I pity you because
it's not you're not good. It's I'm better than you because
I'm better.
Saved.
I disagree with that. Yeah. I think that I'm better than you because or not better than you. I'm saved and I wish you were saved. It's more of a pity thing.
It's not.
All right, let's move on. We're not going to solve this.
No, I got
right
one
now.
Thing. Both sides of my family, it's the exact opposite. My grandmother that lives in BC, she's in a 2x2. And they restrict themselves to the point where they don't have an organized church. And they think they're better than everybody. Because they don't actually organize and put money into a thing of worship. So they put themselves on the highest horse above everyone else because of...
Then I'll add the caveat in my experience.
Okay.
And my grandma...
Anyways.
Her church split into two because they predicted the end of the world and it didn't come. And they think... Both sides think they're better than each other.
Yeah, but I came.
Yeah.
In my mouth.
You understand what I mean about projecting the identity of the archetypal figure.
I don't
agree
with it completely, though.
That's a microcosm in the individual that what happened over history and over humanity is in order to have progress, everybody has to be on the same page. Everybody has to have the same kind of depiction of morality and how you should act in the world and how you should behave to one another in order to progress. As a society and as a whole, and that's what that figure was doing and that story was doing. But to do that, you have to have a compelling story to attach people to as the foundation of what they're hanging their identity on. So this story about the Christ figure, about the Messiah, it's a distillation.
Which every single religion has.
Yes, it's a distillation of many religion stories. It has...
Have you read A Hero with 1,000 Faces?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the premise of the
whole
thing.
Exactly, Joseph Campbell.
Yeah.
So these stories...
Not related.
These stories... It is related. These
Not
stories
to me.
Have...
His last name.
Okay. These stories have repeated certain aspects of them over history, like from Egypt up until now. Yeah. It's still happening because these are archetypal figures in our subconscious that we're projecting out into the world. Through...
Do you think monkeys had these stories? Or like the first people that told stories?
Didn't.
Once they ate mushrooms, they did. Yeah.
Here's the thing. We've talked about this podcast many times. That there doesn't have it doesn't have to be correct for it to have value.
No.
The religion. But at some point... You have to disregard it because it isn't correct. Some point you have to outgrow it.
It's called a meta-truth. It's true over history. So what I was talking about...
It's an effective.
About getting everybody on the same page. There's no other way to do that without a compelling story for people to attach their identity and their behavior to. Because we used to be monkeys that ate each other's babies and flung shit at each other.
We're still doing that.
We needed something to pull us out of that. Yeah, we're not done evolving yet. So this...
I'm done.
In order to convince...
I still like babies.
In order to convince the masses of people, it can't just be a story. It has to be a true story.
I like babies so rare that they're still in gelatin format.
Sperm. Jizz.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Gelatin
format.
I thought this is the cum eating joke podcast.
Gelatin format. I've never heard that to describe.
If you put it in the fridge, you can make little jello sperm
shots. Are you guys following what I'm talking about so far? Do you have any questions?
Okay, well,
I don't agree at all.
Yeah.
So since when did this podcast get serious?
Hang on. I agree.
I don't like it.
I agree, let's say 60%, that there's an archetype and it sets an example and it gives people a story. But I think you're missing a huge part of it, why religion is compelling.
First of all, that whole thing can be achieved by going to yoga class.
Let him finish his story.
You know what I mean?
First, before he says anything, you're forgetting that it has two big answers. Number one, where we came from, and number two, where we're going. And a third facet is there's somebody that's in charge, that knows who I am, that cares about me, that's going to make things okay.
That's beautiful, by the way.
It's the security blanket.
But it's not true.
It's comfort. Yeah. But if you believe it's true. Yeah, it doesn't have to be true to be effective.
So like,
it does.
So on one hand, you got the archetype. On the other hand, you got the security blanket. And I think those two together.
Let's go back a step to your parents making you pray and them sending a 15-minute timer.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like scientific evidence about the power of prayer and how it rewires your
meditation.
Brain to live in gratitude and in the moment and shit like that.
It's good for you.
But anything that you cram down someone's throat doesn't taste good. So them forcing you to do it, what they should have done is told you, hey, you're feeling unsure about something or you need guidance in
your
life.
They did do that. And I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then they made me do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. And that's where they went wrong and it put a bad taste in your mouth.
Well, also, dude.
About this actual beautiful thing that happened inside of culture and inside of humanity that created the entire culture that we live inside of.
You're projecting quite a bit because I was actually a pretty good kid and I've always got along with my parents. In fact, I still work with them. The fact that I can say, you know, to my mom, I think you're an idiot because you believe in the Bible and she'll come on my podcast and still talk to me. So we get along and they've always been super cool. But at some point, they couldn't answer the hard questions. They would give me books to read and I would read them, like, you know, C.S. Lewis's Problem of Pain or Josh McDowell's The Evidence Demands a Verdict. And then I would say, hell is unjust.
Are the hard questions?
The hard questions is, why is there hell? Free will does not exist, even like in the Bible. Christianity needs free will to exist because you need to make that choice.
Yeah.
Because if there's no choice, then God's just sending people to hell and sending people to heaven.
Throughout the Bible, God says he knows your path.
Demonstrably.
Okay. So the hard questions
there's nothing you can do about
aren't
it.
Just hard in the context of Christianity. They're hard in life. They're unanswerable
questions.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So Christianity attempts to answer they say they have the answer.
That's
but they
the
don't
problem.
Hold up under scrutiny. So that pissed me off. And then I've watched, you know, bad things happen to good people over and over, and I got real into Christian history because I started off with, like, you know, the Bible and David and Goliath, and then I started to read about the terrible things that, like, the Spanish Inquisition and, you know, just different genocides.
Things that people did that were bad.
People did, but Christians, the Spanish Inquisition was a completely religious thing. Yeah. Right, and it's one of the worst religious evils ever perpetuated.
It was a cultural thing, and it was a racial thing as well, too.
Of course.
Anybody that's different from me, I'm better than.
Yeah.
And so they're not human. They deserve to die.
But so I just like saw inconsistency and hypocrisy and all that shit that nobody can.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this
now,
is.
Now answer this. Is there any other thing in the world that you don't see inconsistency and hypocrisy in?
My own ideas.
No. Wrong. Name one. Seriously, this is a good point. Name one thing in the world that isn't ripe with inconsistency.
It doesn't
and
matter.
Hypocrisy.
You can't hold God to the same standards as a human being.
No.
I'm not.
The nature of the universe is hypocrisy.
Christianity
and unfairness
consistently
and all of these things.
Calls God
because
infallible.
By giving free will, it creates hypocrisy. It creates inconsistency. It creates unfairness. All of these things are written written into God's plan.
Dude, fuck up. Fuck you for saying that.
It's written into my plan, dude.
Okay.
I wrote it in the plan.
It is. There is no plan. It just is.
No. Just because you don't have a plan doesn't mean I don't have a plan.
Sure, you can have a plan all you want.
Yeah. You know what sucks?
To ascribe.
Your problem is you don't have a plan.
You know what sucks?
You need to get a fucking plan,
Caleb. To be God looking down on the planet and being like, I need to fix shit. So you send yourself there and realizing the most you can accomplish is being a 35-year-old ex-drug addict that used to be kind of good at singing.
Yeah. Okay. Still pretty fucking good at singing.
That's not bad. Dude. I don't know.
And then realizing maybe you suck.
I'm going to say what I was going to say before, but I don't remember why.
As opposed to the current drug addict that you are that still isn't good at singing?
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Here's the best argument I've heard for I guess I'll say religion, but it could people use it for Christianity. So entropy, one of the laws of physics,
yes.
You know, the natural
the fact
breaking
that the
down.
The universe decays.
Yeah, so yeah. Everything decays, right? But we exist. So there's very complex things. So that goes against the initial premise of, you know, I guess physics or the Big Bang where nothing exploded and we made the most complex things that we have already so far. So if you go back if entropy is being combated or reversed or...
It's a process of two steps forward, one step back.
The ultimate complexity is how it's described in Shantaram.
I would call it the holofractor of creative energy that is the universe.
Or whatever, okay? So that's where Christianity goes like, so there must be a purpose. If you exist, there must be a purpose.
Yes.
So I don't remember how I got to here, but something that you said triggered me to that. So that's the best argument I had for religion.
If you exist in the most conservative version of the universe, there's no reason anything should exist.
Exactly.
Why
exactly.
should any of this exist?
Exactly.
There's no reason to.
There doesn't have to be.
Nothing exploded. Yeah.
There
chance.
Is. No.
Why?
Okay, no. But
why? Why can't chance be the answer?
No. So then
you want to know why?
Yes.
Because, bitch.
Yeah.
So that's
I'm right, though. I'm fucking right.
That's the unanswerable question. We shouldn't be here, but we are. Why? Yeah. Somebody made us.
Because.
Then it goes a step
that's
further.
Why. I said so.
No, but what I'm saying is I could
you
believe.
You insolent fucking child.
I actually can believe in a prime mover, a god. Somebody pushed the arm button.
Dude, I brought him halfway there.
No, I've always maintained this. However, the Bible says he's all powerful, all good, all knowing. Those three things are irreconcilable in our world, right? So he's either not all good, not all powerful, or doesn't
Why?
Know.
Why?
Because there's evil. Because there's fucking natural disasters. There's genetic disease. There's kids born with four fucking eyeballs.
What is
shit out their fucking side of their belly.
What is evil?
There's man-made evil, and then there's, I don't know, would you consider, like, virus flesh-eating disease evil?
How about, what is the opposite of light? Let's say light is good and darkness is evil.
I like darkness. Darkness, okay. The,
darkness.
Imprisoning me.
Darkness
all
that
is I see,
not a thing in and of itself. Well, it's an absence of
exactly.
light, and that's what evil is.
That's what
it's
Jesus
an
said.
Absence
the light,
of good.
Darkness flees
Ooh,
the light,
that's right
or
from
whatever.
The 12-step program
but,
right there.
But more powerful than light is black holes, which light cannot escape.
Yeah.
So darkness actually trumps
What do you know
light.
About black holes?
I just, we know
Her
they exist.
All right.
Her name's right, DeShonda.
So, all right, this goes into a very good theory that I have. Have you heard of the non-locality of photons?
Let's say it for dumb people.
A photon can exist in
can only
more
the
than one...
The double slit experiment.
More than one place at once.
The two vagina experiment.
And it can come in and out of phase of reality. So a black hole is sucking energy into it and projecting it out in another universe, in another reality.
I would love...
So that's the duality. It's the lack of something causing the light out of it.
I think you started off, in fact, and jumped into like a bunch of extra shit halfway through that one sentence.
Yeah.
However, yeah.
Well, my speech is very much like the Bible in that it's going to have to be decoded over
enough.
Centuries
yeah.
in order to pull the
it
deepest meaning
right.
out of it possible.
It sounds right, but it's inherently
the
bullshit.
The fucked up thing is that's what you think the Bible is, but it's 90% this is exactly what happened, and then a paragraph later saying the exact opposite.
I got to say... The Old Testament's really, really dumb. The New Testament is
I'm not there yet, baby.
Is no. dumb too.
They're both sick. You guys are dumb.
But they have we haven't yet got to any like Proverbs or the New Testament is actually kind of full of like just they're called parables. you know, this is an example of a neighbor being nice to a guy. And everyone's like, you know what? The world would be better if we were all nice to our neighbors.
I want to help you now, okay? Because I know that you're
fuck you.
I know that you're a depressed alcoholic that's out of shape.
Yeah.
And you need your come to Jesus moment like your father had to get you back on the path of righteousness. You followed the path of just being funny,
dude,
which is a good path to take.
I defy you to make an impact to me after that fucking start.
But that path,
fuck
that
you.
Path that you.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I'll just listen to what
I'm telling you. This is what's great about Christianity. I'm better than you,
Jordan. You just
I'm not only a Christian. I'm God. I'm telling you what to do with your life.
My brain is now empty. Fill it up.
Okay. So here it is. This is what's transformed my life this year. I do.
And if it's good enough for Jordan, it's good enough for fucking anybody.
Do you ever notice that anyone that's recovering, every single example of thing in their life becomes applicable to everyone else automatically?
So,
regardless of what their circumstances are?
Yes.
It's instantly applicable to everyone that they know. Okay, go on.
All right. So what's transformed my life is journaling. And what I do in my journaling... It's the same thing as that archetypal figure. It's easy to replace that archetypal figure, and what you replace it with is who you...
I fucking hate that guy, by the way.
Okay. Jesus?
No. Whoever pressed the on button, fuck you.
What on
button? Who put me here?
Let me finish my point.
Jordan did.
I felt that way before, too, in the past, and I don't feel that way anymore, because what I've been doing is every morning I've been writing a letter to myself of what I could become in the future. And I call it Dear Divinity Within. That divinity.
That is so pretentious.
It is. Fuck yeah. But this is how you pull yourself out of a rut. I write in my journal every day, Jordan, you're the fucking man. You're going to kill it today.
Do you believe that?
It doesn't. This is prayer.
It does matter.
This is prayer without praying.
Jordan, your dick is
you're
6 inches
long. You're wiring your
long.
Way in a, to
hear,
think a certain
dude,
way
I hear you.
Jordan, to say I'm the fucking man. I can fucking conquer anything. I cranked out 50 fucking push-ups this morning, bitch. Who the fuck did that this morning at 6 a.m.? I did.
Jocko Willink.
Fucking deserve credit for that.
And, every athlete
and
ever.
And you're praying to yourself in a non-denominational or non-religious sense, dude, to transform yourself into the person that you want to become. Because this version of Caleb is not who you want to be. You're fat and you're depressed and you're an alcoholic and you need to become better, because I have faith in you that you can become a fucking man that is illuminated in the light of God. And then you'll come to me and beg before my feet for forgiveness for not fucking believing me in the first place, bitch.
I appreciate the sentiment, but now I'll just die of a coke overdose just to prove you wrong.
Let me ask you something. In all seriousness, do you think I'm right about that? That you could transform your life by doing that every day?
I think that I not by doing specifically exactly what you said, but I hear your point. And
he's in the cult, bitch.
No, you're not wrong.
Yes,
no, you're not wrong.
Can
I am depressed. I am out of shape. I can't do better. And I do believe in meditation. All that is when you pray, even when you pray like Christian God or whatever, you're praying.
Well, you're asking for answers for your problems,
but
so you're subconsciously solving them.
Yeah, so what you're doing is thinking about your problems all the time.
Exactly.
And I already fucking know. Here's the thing, though.
No. I'm not talking about thinking about your problems. I'm talking about...
I don't have a lot of problems. I have an easy life.
What you're doing is you're projecting...
I have existential fucking dread.
Yes. For sure, dude.
Everybody does.
That's why they made up these lies.
Okay, that combined with... I don't give a fuck about acquiring wealth or material things. I truly believe there's going to be a global catastrophe.
Oh, I want power, though, you know?
Years. I don't want any... I want...
Dude,
I want to opt out.
If it's the apocalypse, I want the biggest rock.
I want to be left alone. I want to just basically make jokes.
Oh, an isolation mentality.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That's what addicts usually do, for sure.
Fucking leave me the fuck alone. I'm not answering my phone.
Dude, I'm better than you. I'm 1 year better than you.
I have to pee so bad. I'll be right back.
Dear Diary.
Yeah.
Cum doesn't taste so bad.
Dude, I think it's time to uncover that I...
Doesn't matter what you did yesterday, you're not gay, Diary.
I've told you this before. When we
doesn't matter how many dicks you suck today, you're still not gay.
When we first met...
The end goal is enlightenment.
Doesn't matter how many dicks you gotta run through to get there,
doesn't mean you're not gay, I'm not gay, Jordan. End of Diary, bye, Diary,
when
I'm not gay.
When we first met, it was in a comedy show, I told you... that I eat my cum every time I jerk off. I told you that in confidence. And you said to me, I don't believe you, but that's a cool image to portray as a comedian. That's what you said to me. Let me ask you that question again.
I don't believe I said that.
You did.
I believe I said something, and that's what you turned it into.
Yeah.
You turned it into much more positive thing than I definitely said.
Yeah.
Because I was a much bigger asshole back then than I am now.
Who's eating whose cum?
Do you think I'm lying about that now?
But what, eating your own cum?
Yeah.
Yes.
You think I'm lying about that?
Yeah. You don't. No one eats their own cum every time.
I do every time. Every single time.
What if you're with a girl?
No, not she eats it.
I used to have a joke.
It's not getting wasted. This is a workaround in the Bible of don't waste your seed. I never waste my seed, dude.
I used to have a joke about how
it's your life force. The most potent thing your body creates.
That is so fucking dumb.
Dude, it's fucking medicine for depression. Look it up.
Your own cum?
Yes, look it up. Pull that up right now. Does cum cure depression? I'm fucking right about everything I say on this podcast.
Except for the fact that it's...
I'm right. You're in my church.
It's not your own cum. You have to have someone well-adjusted's cum.
No.
So that's why you've been running through a train downtown of every dude's dick you see.
Yeah, what if
to try and suck enlightenment out of it. You fag. Gay for Jesus.
And there I am. I'm gay again, according to Kyle.
Well, you're saying it.
What about also like retarded people, if they ate their own cum all the time? One surprising study. So that's not been verified. Or
the study is that bitches love
actually
eating cum.
Actually suggests exposure to semen might help fight depression in women.
Exposure to semen
in women.
Yeah, because
specifically
they
in
couldn't
women.
Get any men to admit that they eat cum. I'll fucking sign up for the study.
Hang on, exposure to semen is different than eating cum. Number one, and that just means you're getting laid. All right,
my theory of the universe. My theory of the universe. How God created the universe. Was
how you created
the universe. He jerked off and ate his own cum and it created the universe inside
of
him.
God has a dick.
That's my origin story. Yeah, for sure. It's a he.
Is it 4 inches long?
Yeah. But his mouth was a pussy. That's the fucking catch. He came into his own pussy mouth.
Oh,
the universe was impregnated inside of him.
So that's genital herpes.
The one went into the zero. Yes. And this is a legitimate epistemological argument for how the universe is made.
Angus, Google if you can give yourself genital herpes on your mouth by eating your own cum.
Deeply philosophical about that.
We're off the rails.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just kidding. You don't have to Google it.
Nothing exploded into its own mouth, and now I have to fucking work.
All right. So we're talking about the meaninglessness of the universe. Do you think it's without meaning?
Well, specifically my life.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You're projecting
meaning
what you feel about your life onto the universe.
Meaning is contrived. And
what do you mean it's contrived?
It's whoever experiences the meaning.
Exactly.
Yes. So we are the makers of our own meaning.
Okay. Contrived.
That is what free will is.
And
my
friend. Choose
Jordan Peterson, everybody,
to be meaningless. I mean, it's a fucking choice.
Yeah.
How's
it going for you?
Real bad.
Okay.
Okay. But here's the thing. I'd rather live in the perceived truth of meaninglessness than conjuring
true.
Up a fucking
why
are you so self-important?
Why is meaningless? You want to know why?
There's nothing. Nothing fucking matters.
You
want to
know why
None
you're important?
Why? Because I care. All right.
In a universe that rewards connectivity inside of nature, inside of patterns of nature, the neocortex in the front of your fucking brain is the most densely connected thing that we know of in the universe. Which means you're the most important fucking thing alive that we know of. Other than mycelial networks and now social networks on the internet.
How come the happiest people I know in the world are the ones that ask the least amount of questions?
Because that's exactly why. That's the answer.
I know why. Yeah.
And to what Jordan was saying... What
They're
I was
not the happiest
at,
people.
When
they
I was
absolutely
my
are.
Most depressed, when I was looking suicide
absolutely.
In the face,
yeah,
I came down to the thing like I couldn't do this to my brothers and my parents and my sister.
Me too.
So then what? So now I'm... So I don't exist for myself.
Here's what.
So I looked it in the face. I didn't do it. Now I've decided to exist. So I exist to... I just perpetuate my... earthly all right, body.
All right, here's
until everybody I know dies.
Here's something. Yeah.
Or until the Bible Beaters podcast blows up.
Do you have
Kenna Comedy?
Do you have any goals right now?
No.
So that's
sure
the
do.
Very first thing.
That's
dude.
A blatant lie.
Without goals, your life is meaningless.
I have you're totally right. But so my goals right now are to be to make all my income from comedy. What am I doing to reach those goals? Literally nothing.
Okay, so there's a book called...
But that's not a goal that's like I stated that I'm working towards with a timeline. I know how goals work.
Yeah.
You know, smart. I took business school.
That's
specific, that's measurable, attainable, retarded.
So there's a book,
and timed. That's what the T stands for.
There's a book by this guy named Napoleon Hill.
Ooh, I like that movie.
Do you know the book that I'm talking about? It's called Think and Grow Rich.
Okay, I mean
this book transformed my life. What I've been doing for the last year?
How long ago did you read it?
Last year. Well, as in rehab, I read it, and it's all about how to make a plan, how to set a goal, how to accomplish
that
goal.
Dude, I know all these things.
Okay.
Here's the problem. Besides my nihilism.
That goal to you looks so far away.
No, but
to make money off your comedy, that goal is so far away.
No, but it's way less. It's way worse than that.
Okay.
We're heading towards a global catastrophic crisis.
No, you're an idiot.
I don't think we are.
I'm an idiot. Okay. Says every
single
person
ever.
You want to
know why?
No. Just like your fucking... zealot parents, people have been saying that since the beginning of time. Who cares?
Okay.
Who gives a fuck if it's going to end tomorrow?
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
It doesn't fucking matter.
But my,
if you're letting that dictate how you view the world and behave today, you're a fucking idiot.
Jordan.
Okay. You're a fucking retard.
All right. It doesn't matter.
It's a weird
way
of
Why bother to do fucking anything?
I just told you. Because if you let that existential crisis that doesn't exist, that hasn't happened, that might not happen, dictate how you feel about your life and yourself and your mission,
Jordan,
in this world, you're a fucking retard, dude.
By now,
you're an idiot.
By now, I'm very invested that it does happen. And if it doesn't happen in about 15 years, I'm going to become a terrorist.
No.
Because I need it to
happen. No.
Or else I wasted
my whole life. Caleb, it already happened in your fucking brain because you've given up. It already happened.
I have.
You know what? I'll never fucking die, dude. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to merge with the consciousness of the universe
that's what heaven is.
No. Heaven isn't a place that you
go. I don't want to live
forever.
It's
the mind of God that
you
merge again with.
Do you know what I want more than anything? To not exist. That's what I want more than anything.
You will.
Silence.
You will.
Well, you just said you're going to live forever. That sounds fucking terrible to me.
No.
I can't think of a worse thing.
Sounds terrible to me too.
Than existing forever.
No.
One of my favorite short stories is
that's because you're a fat, drunk loser.
Whatever.
That's why it sucks to live forever. My life fucking rules because I'm sober, bitch. Get there. Make a fucking goal. Get a plan. Get your shit together, Caleb.
Why?
I'm fucking sick of
seeing
you fail because you're too smart to fail.
You know why? Because when you merge with the existence and you are God, you can finally do coke again.
It's better than coke. It's fucking better than coke.
Dude,
my dick gets hard.
I like how it's every drug addict is like, when I finally get there, it's always better than the drug they were doing.
Well,
it's always like,
drugs
it's
aren't that fun.
God's my heroin now.
Drugs
are
only fun when you first start doing them. At the end, they suck.
They're not even that fun.
But Jordan, let's go back 10 to 20 seconds.
Okay.
My third favorite short story.
Sorry, Caleb. Yeah. I just want you to know. I
know you love me.
I forgive you, dude.
What?
you're forgiven.
For what?
I'm lifting your burdens off of you. All you have to say is you accept Jordan inside of your heart.
I don't accept
as your
you.
Lord and Savior.
I'll accept you in my butt before I accept you.
Okay. Fine. The quickest way to the heart is through the butt. All right, what were you going to say?
My point is, there's a short story by Isaac Asimov called The Last Answer, where a mind, a soul, an entity, whatever you want, a consciousness, is forced to just be basically a computer, like what you said, the singularity. Okay,
that's not what I said.
Well, okay, what do you think? Just to be connected to every other mind ever existed.
I'll tell you.
So, like a hive mind thing.
I've been connected to God before.
No, you haven't.
I ate.
Shut the fuck up.
I ate. Caleb wants to think that his experience is everybody else's experience in the world. So my experience doesn't matter to him because it didn't happen to him. That's what's happening. He's projecting his insecurity on
you. You're projecting your security on
me. All right. I can make it happen to you. I can make this happen to you. All you have to do is eat 50 Hawaiian baby wood rose seeds.
Okay. This sounds exact. And then set the timer for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Pray the Bible every day for a year.
Yeah
fuck
no,
you.
No.
Dude, I'll eat whatever you want me to eat. I'll do any drug.
All right, literally, February 1st, I'm doing an ayahuasca ceremony, and I want you to come.
I I'll go. I don't want to do this because everybody that I've talked to that did it said they just got like nauseous and had diarrhea.
Fuck what everybody else says. I'm telling you.
I'm excited to get diarrhea.
Yeah.
Dude, I started taking antidepressants for a while and I didn't get less depressed, but I did have diarrhea.
Like, imagine if someone came up to you and said, hey, I'll give you the most transformative experience of your life and turn you into a better person and improve all of your relationships and turn you into the person that you want to become, but you're going to get diarrhea, dude.
Fuck you.
Maybe not, actually. I'll get diarrhea.
I'd say you're full of shit.
Okay.
But well, you wouldn't be because you got diarrhea.
Say that to me on February 2nd.
Fine, I'll do it. Fine.
You promise me?
Yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Hang on. Promise me.
The dates have to...
Promise me.
I can't promise you right now. I'm just doing...
Promise me.
Quick math. I might be out of town on February 1st, but I will do... I promise you I will do it.
It's Super Bowl. Super Bowl's the 2nd.
That's three times you promise me.
I will do it. Sure, I'll do it.
Club reference.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. It makes it fucking real. However...
Cool. All right. I'm...
Also, for a fucking sober guy, do this drug and I'll teach you enlightenment. What the fuck is that?
First of all, it's a medicine. It's not a drug.
Oh, there's a big difference.
Yeah, there is a big difference.
I just see my medicine, man.
How come alcohol can't be a medicine?
Yeah, why can't I experience this through a fucking sober brain?
Because it doesn't.
And alcohol was a medicine forever.
State. Completely disagree.
Okay.
Okay.
It had measurable effects on my life.
All I wanted to point out was the inconsistency of a sober guy telling me I need to eat this thing to alter my brain to reach enlightenment. That's all I want.
I'm not your typical sober guy.
You kind of break all definitions of enlightenment and sobriety. All
right. I've taken six runs at sobriety.
We're reaching the end of the podcast. We're at 51 minutes. And what we do every week is... I give
together as a group.
There's a cracker in the middle of the table. You've been wondering why that's been here the whole time.
You're alluding to what I'm getting
at. Sacrament.
That's what a cum has to eat it.
What I want. Do you want to do your thing first, or should I?
I always do it after you.
Okay. So
let me go first, please.
I think the ultimate expression of self-love is eating your own cum.
That is so fucked up.
This thing that was inside of me. We're gonna match up this week.
I'm being sincere right now. I thought the eating the cum thing was a joke.
No, it's not. Eat your own cum. That's
I thought it was a joke.
My mission this week is to convince people it's not a big fucking deal.
Do people just listen to this?
Come into your palm and eat your own. Eat
but
your own
will.
Cum. Try it once. It's not a big deal.
I've tried it. Everyone's tried it.
Last week it was
very
drink
salty.
Water. This
kind of bitter.
You tried it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I need to know what I was putting
girls
through.
Exactly, dude. Now just start doing that every day.
Why? What the actual fuck? Dude, I mean, everybody's a little bit weird. I scratch my ass and smell my fingers. I've eaten my scabs before. But to do it, like, religiously, like, now it's time to eat cum today.
He's even drank his own piss.
I mean...
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'll tell you this. It's the easiest cleanup method. It's healthy for you. It benefits you mentally.
I don't think it's healthy for you. In the same way that drinking your own blood is not healthy for you. You can't digest your own proteins.
The actual thing this week is set a goal and try and write down 3 steps to get to that goal.
Okay, but what if...
That's my message for this week.
But
do that in your life.
And no goals matter once you're dead and everyone's going to die and everyone you know is going to die and the sun is going to explode and nothing fucking matters. That's what
dude, you're so metal. That's so metal.
Why the fuck do
your
anything?
Brain has been poisoned by the nihilism of heavy metal. It's such
depressing. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah.
My brain was poisoned by the nihilism of stand-up comedy.
Everything
not heavy metal.
Dude, check this out. This is deep. Everything sucks.
That's stand-up comedy.
Whoa, dude. Everything sucks.
I want
man.
You to know that. It's
holy
not
shit,
heavy metal.
You're right. Everything does suck.
I listen
bro.
To mostly instrumental and Finnish metal.
He doesn't even understand the lyrics.
Yeah, so go fuck yourself. But stand-up comedy did that.
Satan
to me.
Is gay.
And that's why I am a Satanist. Love that gay Satan dick, dude.
You're a Saturnist. Kyle, what's your thing?
I want everyone to go down to their nearest truck stop. There's going to be a stall there. I want you to put your foot under it. I want you to tap under that. There's going to be a hole in the wall. A dick's going to come out. I want you to suck it while the whole time saying I'm not gay to yourself over and over, religiously in a chant as you get the elixir of life poured into your mouth.
It's like that footprints in the sand. It's like Jesus, and he's like, every time you tapped in the stall next to you, I was there sticking my dick through.
I'll come in my hardest moments. Where were you? That's because I was in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I want you to wake up the next morning in euphoria, knowing that it was the cum that made you feel that way, not the cock that you were craving for the last 3 years.
Hell yeah, dude. And on that note, this has been...
I feel much better.
Good.
Well, yeah. I think I've changed my life today.
Dude, if you do what I said, it will. But it's up to you.
Any plugs?
I hear what you're saying, man.
Any plugs?
I love you, boys. Listen to the Bible Beaters podcast. It's a very funny, very entertaining podcast. Go to canadacomedy.com and check out...
.ca.
.ca and check out all of the podcasts on that fine network.
And now that this is out, you can go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, give us a fucking review.
Holy shit.
To the man...
Subscribe.
To the Messiah that has saved you from your oblivion.
And invite people you know to the cult, but only the worthy.
Yeah. The great thing about our cult is you can also be a part of any other cult, and we don't care. There's no subscription
jealousy.
That's weird.
That's a very unique
trait
in the cult.
Once you listen to this podcast, you're going to realize that I created the most perfect cult. Thank you very much.
The cult of listening to my own podcast while I jerk off into my own mouth.
Dude, honestly,
while
you
running
say
on
that,
a treadmill.
You say that
going
jokingly,
fucking nowhere.
But that is the secret. That is the secret. Do
self-love.
Yes.
By the gallon.
Yes. I can't believe you would make fun of loving yourself, Caleb. You're so bereft of wisdom.
Thank you.
Is bereft the word?
Yeah, bereft.
Bereft.
Bereft. Man, I have bad bereft right now from eating all that gum.
Yeah.
All right. Good night.